I guess the first thing you have to do is to unmute your microphone. That's the first thing you do. That's doing Zoom for the last, I don't know how many months now, it seems forever. It's the first thing you do on Zoom. And look what I did today. I forgot to unmute my phone, my computer. But I have to say, it is with joy and sorrow mingling that is we having this conference. You know, I miss seeing all of you at Spruce Lake. I really do. I miss hugging you guys and chatting with each and every one of you. And even chasing you around 11:30, sometimes it's 2:30, and reminding you that every good Christian that is going to heaven should be in bed before 11. I'm thankful that this is not the rule, otherwise none of you will be in heaven. I really do miss you. But I tell you this, we pray for you. We pray for you because our God is faithful, as we already have been heard, we already have heard and being encouraged. My lecture, or what we're going to speak together about, is about David. Oh, sorry, it's about Joseph. It's about Joseph. And how am I going to start speaking about Joseph? Third of the book of Genesis about Joseph. I have 20 minutes. If I read from chapter 37 till the end of the book, the time will be over. So, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. That's why I thought David. I mean, no. I'm going to read in the book of Psalms. And if you turn with me very quickly, please. And by the way, young people, I have not changed, even on Zoom. So what I do is this. I'm going to read from Psalm, but, you know, we're going to go to the book of Genesis. And I could see the names on the screen. So just be careful. Not because you have your name and you're on and you're wondering somewhere. I might call your name to read a verse or something. So warning, have not changed. Same, even on Zoom. I might call somebody to say, hey, would you read that verse for me? So be warned. And focus with me for the next few minutes. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 105, Psalm 105, and I would read, well, I'm just going to read from verse 16. Psalm 105 and verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He breaks a whole stole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators, elders, wisdom. So far, the word of God. Let's just ask the Lord to help us in the next few minutes. Lord Jesus, we are very grateful and thankful that even through this feeble mean, we could communicate together thy blessed word. Lord Jesus, we look to thee that thou will give the enablement, the help that is needed. Thy word is very vast. Thy word is so precious. And we seek help that the Spirit of God will give the right words this morning, and that thou will open our hearts and our understanding, that thy word will have impact on us, Lord Jesus. So we would not just be hearer of the word, but we will be doer of the word. That as a result of this, Lord Jesus, that our life will be conformed to thy blessed image. We give thee thanks as we wait upon thee to enable and to give the help from above. Amen.
Amen.
So I read those verses in the book of Psalm because I figure this is really the best way to kind of summarize the life of Joseph. It's a very fascinating life. He is so majestic in his way. And you know what I like about him? He's a young man. Started around 17 years old, where the scriptures start recording to us about Joseph. The book of Genesis is a very unique book. It's a fascinating book. Fascinating book. And actually, though it is 50 chapters, that is to make it easy for us to find a chapter and a verse. But the Spirit of God who wrote the Word of God have, like, somehow, if you read a very well-written book, the author will be able to put a break in it without just a chapter and a verse. And the Spirit of God in the book of Genesis have put that word. This is the generation of. So I want you, I have not changed a homework here, to read through the book of Genesis between now and the next few days. You have, it's 50 chapters. And I want you to find how many times the word, this is the generation of. And there's a break from a section to a section. I'll tell you when is the last time it is mentioned. It is mentioned in chapter 37. This is the generation of Jacob. And that is in chapter 37 and verse 2. This is the generation of Jacob. Full stop, Joseph. So we're coming into the new section in the book of Genesis. This whole word, this is the generation, kind of divide the book really into six major sections. Also, the word is mentioned more than six times. The section about Joseph is really a big section. It's almost third of the book of Genesis. Third of the book is about Joseph. His name is really mentioned in the Holy Scripture about 208 times. He's number 9 in the ranking of how many people, the occurrence of the name that is mentioned. And about, in the book of Genesis, about 395 verses written about him, if I count them right. Now, I want you to challenge me and count them. Here is my goal. I want you to read the book of Genesis with your eyes open. The stories might be very, very familiar to you, but it is the word of God. What I want to talk about Joseph is in that very three incidents that the scripture highlight to us in that section. I want to speak about Joseph in his father's house. I want to speak about Joseph when he was far away from home. I want to speak about Joseph when the tide was turned and he became prosperous. And in every situation, in those three sections, which is every one of us could be related to. Some of you are at home. Some of you are away from home. Some of you are in a position of authority. And in every one of them, Joseph is a beautiful type. After all, he's a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And again, I struggle. What am I going to say about Joseph? Do I take him as a type of the Lord Jesus? Do I take him as a type of a faithful young believer? I don't know. Thy word is exceedingly vast. But that is for another time. In his father's house, you would say, this is a comfort zone. It wasn't. Jacob's house was not a comfort zone, neither for Jacob, neither for Jacob's wife, neither for anybody. It was a big mess. At that time, when Joseph was 17 years old, because that's chapter 37, there were three mothers in the house. There was 12, maybe 13 children in the house. And the contention that was going on at that time, the favoritism that had been throughout the family of Isaac and the family of Jacob. And maybe some of you experience that. Why my parents don't love me as they love my brother or sister? Why I am not so popular and well-liked like everybody else? Well, Joseph was fortunate in somehow that he was loved by his father. But his father, in that way, was a little bit unwise because he showed favoritism toward Joseph, which added gasoline to the fire of his the envy and the hatred of his brethren to him. He gave him a coat of many colors. But that's not the point I want to talk about. What did Joseph do in such a very uncomfortable and hard circumstances? He was in communion with his father. And this is the point I want to leave with you. That Joseph was so close to his father. He was in communion with his father. When everybody around him misunderstood him, maybe even hated him. When the world around him was not right. When things were not comfortable. Imagine you are living and everybody's picking on you or everybody speaks bad about you. That's what probably was happening to Joseph. Where did he find his comfort? He finds his comfort in the presence of the Father. In the Vale of Hebron, that's where he was. We read on in the book of Genesis that when Father he sent him from Hebron. And there, in that place of fellowship, Joseph found comfort in the presence of the Father. And the question to you and I, before you start your life as a young man, where is your comfort zone? The presence of the Father. Oh, that you would appreciate that very, very much. The love of the Father, who gave all. We have heard, when we heard about Abraham, the love of the Father to a son. And here is Joseph, have experienced the love of the Father. Have you? You see, to have that sense of self-security, people are seeking, young people are seeking for love. And sometimes you go in the wrong place to find that love. And they get disappointed. And they get hurt emotionally. And sad to say, sometimes physically. Where does a believer find unconditional love? That someone loved me no matter how I look, no matter what my intellectual level. You will find that with the Father. And young people, if anything you're going to have today, I want you to learn, if the Lord leaves us here, to have that relationship with the Father. When everything around you is not right, the heart of the Father is there for you. And as a result of that, he knows the will of the Father. Not only that he knows the love of the Father, he knows the will of the Father. The Father told him, I want you to go to seek your brethren. Now, humanly speaking, Joseph is a very smart person. He knows very well, if he go by these guys are so vicious, his brothers. They are vicious. And if he goes away from the sight of the Father to go far away to them, they will do some harm to him. But he was obedient. He knew the will of the Father. He probably did not anticipate what will happen. But I want you to see the faithfulness of God, because God had a plan for Joseph. And God has a plan for you and I. Young people, don't think you are just a number in the world. Don't you think it's just like you are somebody that nobody really care about. You are the object of the love of the Father. And the Father has a plan for you. And how do you find out that plan? Sit in his presence. Read his word. I'm not saying now when you start following the will of the Father, everything will go well, because that's what I learned from Joseph. But in the end, God is faithful. Because his purpose for you is always good. He is the Father of light. Every perfect gift, every good gift come from him. Do you think he will withhold anything from you that is good for you? Not what you think is good for you. So it is a matter of confidence. When you first start with the love of the Father, you will be able to understand the will of the Father. And that's what Joseph's faithfulness was, obedient to the Father. Heard about Abraham obeying the voice of God. Obedience. Go. He went. He said, here am I. And he went. From that place of comfort zone of his father's love to do the father's will. And the father's will for you and I is to be obedient to him. That's your part. His part, he will take care of everything else. Now, we know the story. Joseph goes, how much time, David, I have? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
You have 14 minutes.
You know what? Why I love eternity? There will be no time. Time will disappear. I love eternity. But the restriction of earth, it's bad enough they put restriction on us. Now I have 14 minutes. I'll do my best. I promise that I'm going to finish in 13 minutes. So let me see what I could do here. And all I'm trying to do is just get with your appetite to what we have. So we move on, because remember the words that we read in Psalm. God had a plan. God had a plan for Joseph. God had a plan for you. Think of that. Think of that. God had a plan for you. Don't think you are a nobody. God had a plan for you. How you will get there? That's his ways. So Joseph is sold to Egypt. Imagine now outside of the father. You are in a different one, different thing. Some of you have been hoping that in 2020, you're starting college and you're going to go to college. Or you're starting a high school. Or you're starting a new job. And guess what? By March, everything went up in flame. The disappointment of life. Here is Joseph, just like, you know, I don't know, a couple of days ago, he was talking about his dreams, the sun and the moon and the stars, all of the sheaves, you know, 11 sheaves in the field are bowing to him, all of these great aspirations, what I want to do when I grow up, wonderful things. And all of a sudden, what happened? I will say it, what, COVID-10? His 10 brothers kind of took him and threw him in a pit and threw everything out. And here he is in Egypt. Got to learn a new language, got to learn a new custom. But by the way, he is going to be a slave, somebody's property, to tell him what to do and how to do it. And you know what? He could do whatever he wanted to do with him. That's just the way it is. Where is the God? Where is he? You know what's amazing about Joseph? In the book of Genesis, God has spoken directly to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You never read that God had spoken directly to Joseph. Yes, we have the dreams. But never read that God appeared unto, even in the dreams, God spoke in a dream to Abraham. God spoke in a dream to Jacob or to Isaac. But you never read that about Joseph. It's kind of unique a little bit about him. Not only that there was no direct hearing of the voice of God, it's just like you and I. We don't hear the voice of God directly, but we hear it directly in his word. The silence of God. When things are upside down. What did Joseph learn there? He's a fascinating character. I think he's the only one in the scripture that six dreams are connected with him. Two of his own, two of the butler and the baker, and two of Pharaoh's. Only unique person. He's unique. Six dreams. Nobody else have that. Six dreams connected with him. And what did he do? In this foreign land, the testing of God, the testing of God, thrown into a house, and the scripture tells us that God was with him. There is something about him. He have heard about the faithfulness of God from his father Jacob. He also lived a few years when Isaac was still living. He heard of the faithfulness of God. And most of you young people are grown up in a Christian home. And you have heard your parents speaking to you about the faithfulness of God. Speaking to you about the love of God. And after all, now you could read, you have the Bible to see it all. Now, when I get to heaven, there are many people, I have a list of people that I want to have a lot of questions for them. One of them is Joseph. I mean, scripture didn't. What was in his mind when he was in the slave market? What was going on through his heart at that time? A young man, 17 years old. He works in the house. And what do I learn? So in the father's house, when he was in his own family, he learned the love of the father, fellowship with the father, and the will of the father. When he went into Potiphar's house, he was a witness for God. So in those circumstances, now you would say, just give it up. What is this God thing? Look what's happening to me. Did you hear that expression? Where is God now with this COVID? Didn't you hear that? He heard it all the time. Where is God? Nobody say, where is God when everything is going well, right? But when things are bad, where is God? Joseph didn't say that. He trusted God. He did not know what you and I, he didn't know the tenth of what you and I know. But he trusted God. And in every conversation that you read about, he mentions the name of God in every conversation. And he was exposed to something at that time that all of you are exposed to, old and young alike. And that is temptation and sexual immorality. In a culture, in a civilization that is similar to what we have today. These people were just as advanced in sin as we are today. It's just exactly the same. Don't think these are primitive people. No, no. This is not the Victorian type of the 1900 where people were chased. And no, that was exactly what's happening today. Sin was glorified. Sexual immorality was just like drinking water. And anybody could do whatever they wanted to do. And Joseph, come on, man. Don't be the weird one. Everybody's doing it. Look at the celebrities around you. You know, Potiphar's wife was probably one of those celebrities. And she was bored and like, day by day, day by day, day by day. Say, come on, you got to relieve the pressure that's on you. Do something. How could I do this great sin? This great wickedness and sin against God? I hope you underline that verse in your Bible. I hope you engrave it in your mind and in your heart. Every time, especially most of you now are learning online and the internet is available and all you have to do is spell something wrong and it takes you somewhere that you shouldn't be at. And then you look again. Dear young people, oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. If God has been faithful to you, you have to be faithful to him. And Joseph was faithful to God and rejected the temptation at such a great cost. And he's thrown in jail. Same expression again. And the Lord was with him. Joseph is brilliant. He's a brilliant economist. I think if Joseph was around today, he would have solved COVID-19 and the economy because they don't know what to do. Should we shut down? Should we open up? If we open up, everybody gets sick. If we shut down, the economy will die. Joseph was able to solve that problem. Brilliant man. And my Lord, when he comes, he's going to solve all of the problem. But Joseph is a little tired. So what a brilliant man in jail. And he was able to run the jail. That the keeper of the jail said, you're in charge. These are rough, tough people. You're in charge. And he, another two dream comes. And God, he said, gives the interpretation of the dream. And he interprets the dreams. And everything he said come to pass. Faithfulness to God in the adverse circumstances. None of you have gone to jail. And by the way, this is not like, you know, 9-to-5 kind of thing. This is hard. Harsh circumstances. You're away from everybody. Where is God? Maybe, you know, they will let me go. Maybe he's in jail. He's never getting out. Then he asked Cabrera, please, just, you know, mention me. I have not done anything wrong. Man, you know, people moan and groan and complain about everything in life. Have you had people like that? Everything is just no good. Where is God? Why is this happening to me? Just, you know what? Just mention that so I could come out. And you know when God does, you see the faithfulness of God. He had a plan for Joseph. We read that in Psalm 105. You know what God does? He wakes up the greatest king at that time on the face of the earth. This is the greatest empire. He wakes him up and he gives him two dreams. And he asks all of his experts, all of the subject matter experts, and the scripture tells us in chapter 40, that no one, in chapter 41 and in verse 8, no one know how to answer the question. No one how to interpret the dream. And here, all of a sudden now, the cupbearer remember. Wait a second. Couldn't he remember 2 years ago? What would happen if he remembered 2 years ago? I imagine Joseph, every time you hear a chariot coming by the door of the jail, you know, it's a truck delivering food. Oh, maybe he will let me out. Maybe he'll let me out. Can you feel that? Have you ever experienced that disappointment? You hope for something. You did everything and all this, and you didn't do anything wrong. nothing is happening. But imagine if the cupbearer said to Pharaoh, hey, there is a little kid there, the young man, you know, he's okay. Should we let him out? Yeah, let him out. Well, what would Joseph be done? But then he, at that moment, God's perfect timing. God is faithful. And in the perfect timing, Pharaoh wakes up, disturbed, the future of the whole world. His empire is in danger. He's the god of the Nile, as far as the Egyptian is concerned. And if the Nile doesn't bring water and there is no famine, something wrong with him. What kind of god is he? When Joseph stood before him, what a dignity. Here it is, a young man coming out of jail, shaved, changed his garment. Something about the garment in the life of Jacob and Joseph, and the evidence. There is evidence in everything. Remember, the scripture is true. The system of evidence. You know, when Jacob was blessing, going to bless Jacob, when Isaac was going to bless Jacob, he heard a voice, but he wanted a proof. He said, voice is Jacob, I need a proof. When the children of Jacob killed, sold Joseph, they came back with the coat, and he said, observe. You see, these people in the Old Testament, faith, as we have heard, is not an airy-fairy something and somebody who is really up there. Faith demand evidence. And in the scripture, you find evidence. Jacob was just a nobody. He wants evidence. Potiphar wants evidence. Here's his quote. There is evidence all the time. The evidence, even in the end, when Jacob, his brethren went back to Joseph's brethren went back and said, Joseph is living. He's a ruler over. It said, when Jacob saw the wagons, the evidence. Scripture have evidence about everything that God have recorded to us. The God of glory is not a figment of our imagination. He is real. And there is evidence. And these men in the Old Testament were not primitive people. They weren't people just that heard voices. They were people who trusted in the living God. And there was evidence of their faith. He stand up before Pharaoh and he solved the problem. If there is Nobel Prize at that time for economy, Joseph would have got it. Joseph would have got it. He solved a problem that was going to destroy that land. And then finally, because I know my time is gone and David is going to put me on mute, I want to read the last verse in Genesis, in the book of Genesis chapter 50. Just again, the matter of the faithfulness of God. So Genesis chapter 50, I know I'm cutting into your lunch, but in eternity, there will be no time and there will be no lunches either. So just imagine you are in eternity now and you are just happy. So chapter 50, and I just want to read verse 25, almost the last verse. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from him. God is faithful. They were almost going to be 400 years in there. But you know what Joseph said? Don't build me a pyramid. Get me out of here. Get me out of this world. Get me out of this world and carry my bones with you. Then we read in the end of Joshua where these bones ended. Moses carried it with them. You know, a remembrance of Joseph, young people, a remembering of the Lord Jesus as we walk here in this scene. But what is Joseph saying? God is faithful. What's going on? Egypt is wonderful. Now we have the land of Goshen. God is faithful because God said to Abraham earlier on, your seeds will be sojourning in the foreign land, but 430 years later, I will get them out. Joseph knew that. Never God spoke to him directly, but he trusted the faithfulness of God because in experience and in the word of God, he have seen the faithfulness of God. You see, it's a challenge for you if you are 17. It's a challenge for you if you are 70. Well, nobody's 77, I hope, on this call, on this meeting. But to start from now, learning how to trust God, his faithfulness, trust the Father's love, trust the Father's will. And when you are out there in hostile circumstances, be faithful. Don't let your devotion and your love for God be secret. Mention his name. Let everybody know that you belong to him. Let everybody know, they stay away from you, trust me. You're not going to hear bad jokes. And they're not going to invite you to go places that you shouldn't be going. That is the faithfulness of God that was displayed in the life of Joseph. And Joseph is an example of a young man who is faithful in spite of all of the circumstances and the disappointment of life that he have gone through. The challenge you and I is this. You have heard it in a very, very rapid and very, very few short words. Would you be willing to be a Joseph for God? God is looking for Joseph. Because you know what? That day will come, a day of display, when he will show the whole universe a Joseph. Put your name there. He will show the whole universe the wondrous work that he has formed in you and I. It's a chance now. Because in eternity, it will be over. It will be done. There will be no faithfulness in eternity. Faithfulness is here. Let's close in a word of prayer.